so we're at the beginning of the sugya. For the most part, we've been talking, I guess for the most part, for the last couple of months, we started off by talking about what's the need of deraisa, all the conditions that are necessary for that. Then we moved on to ksamim, then we moved on to the most recent sugya, something that was almost the derabbanan even less, namely it was really damaka, and then a Torah damaka is permissible, and then the rabbanan then prohibited it, that was the chumra of damasul, you know, parameter thereof. We move on to another gemara. The gemara talks about the possibility of a certain kind of a dam, which we're not even sure there's any dam anyway. We didn't even see dam, and yet all of a sudden there's some kind of a chumad rabban that's thrown at us, and that's what's called dam chibud. So we begin on page 19 of the Maamar Kamos, and the third of the Maamar Kamos. The thoughts of the gemara: Amar Rava, Tavul di Nosev and his paisa tzricha sheteishav shivnekiyim. So the woman was, I guess, Tavul di Nosev. She was proposed to. The man came and asked her to marry him, and she agreed. So then all of a sudden she has to count Shivanakim. I mean, she can't just say, well, they decided on Sunday they're going to get married, so they're going to look up on Monday. That they're not allowed to do. She has to wait for a week first. Why is that? Because, as I was going to explain, that we're afraid that maybe she swallowed a little bit of dam. She swallowed a little dam. You know. We know she didn't say any dam. She checked some nothing. The Gemara says, Afal became a concern that would be called Dam Chimud. That since she was obviously excited, she may have been aroused by the prospect of getting married. So there's always a concern that maybe that brought about a little bit of Dam, if thrown off her hormones a little bit, just a little bit of bleeding that we may have missed. And therefore, with the Rabbanon, she's required to observe like a regular Nida, slash Zava. She has to count Shivakim. That's the din of Dam Chimud, as appears in Maseches Nida. So the Gemara tells a story about this. Ravina, Yasek Lebrei Beir of Chanina. Ravina was marrying off his son to the daughter of Rav Chanina. So Malay, Sabalei Ma'ala Mechta Ksuba La Boyom. So they agreed, one of them asked the other, so can we write the Ksuba in 4 days? So Amalei in said, yes, Kimat Leba, not that Abba Chanina. So even though they had originally planned on getting married on day 4, whatever that was, so then they had a delay or something. Something happened, they had to wait a whole other week. So we Akiv Shiviyom and Basar Al Yom. So after they had to wait until the following week, then all of a sudden they waited another week. They're trying to figure out what was going on. I'm like, my high. So the other party said to the other one, he said, why are you waiting so long? He said, we're kaveh to get married on this day. And then something couldn't find a cater, we had to wait another week. And now all of a sudden we have to wait another week. So I'm like, Sabal Ma'al Had the Rava. Are you concerned with Rava's din that once a woman agrees to get married, then she has to wait a whole week? Shivanakiyim. So apparently what this Gemara is being mechadish does is, even though she had originally agreed to get married, a month ago they already decided she's going to get married, so why doesn't that count as the Shivanakiyim? Why do they have to wait a second set of days? So it's clear from the Gemara that since the first wedding was cancelled, for whatever reason, they had to push it off, so then Dam Chibud may start over again. So when she's Kozman, she's anticipating to getting married, and they push Chodesh such and such, so then she can start to count her Shiv Nikiyim. But if it reaches day such and such for Chodesh, and they don't get married for whatever reason, they have to push things off for a few weeks, then she has to start to count over again, because we assume that Dam Chibud may start again. So that's a Chiddush on top of the Chiddush. The Chiddush number one is, there's a din of Dam Chibud. Chiddush number two is that if a wedding is pushed off, then you have to count the Shiv Nikiyim a second time around. So now the Gemara comes up with Chiddush number three. When did Rava say there's a din of dam chimur b'gedola to kechazi dama? That's when we're dealing with a girl who's older, so it's possible, it's realistic that she may have seen blood because of the excitement. This particular case, the girl was little, she was under the age of 12, so she hasn't had a period. So it'd be chayshesh that the 10-year-old girl all of a sudden is going to start to see blood because of the woli nase. That's already far-fetched. So I'm going to lay said, even that's true with Farish and Marava, Loshna Gedol, Loshna Tara. It doesn't matter whether she's old or whether she's young, Gedol, Tara, Mamish, and the Mechmeda. The reason why we have to be concerned with the Gedol is because less she saw blood because of Chimud, Tara Nami, Mechmeda. If for a little girl, you also have to be concerned with Dam Chimud as well. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says that there's a din across the board called Dam Chimud, whether it's a big girl, a little girl, it doesn't matter. Dam Chimud applies under all circumstances. Or showing it on, that the same is true when it comes to a zakeda. Let's say you have an older woman, she passed 7+ years ago, she's getting married for later in life, it doesn't matter. There's also going to be a concern of Dam Chibud as well. And so the question is, what exactly is the significance of this halacha for us, l'maisa? So we have to analyze this on a few different levels. We have to first analyze the din in of itself, to understand what exactly this concern was, with Man Chazal, then to see how this concern plays out for us in terms of practically l'maisa. So the first thing that's clear from the Gemara is that blood that is brought about through chibur is a problem. The chiddush of Rava was is that we're concerned that maybe it happened, but imtum slow that it happened. Let's say we would have medically documented that this blood was triggered by chibur, by her excitement. So that would be the same as damnidus. So that's chiddush number one. One could have potentially argued that maybe blood that's triggered by some other kind of external event. Maybe that's not called Damnita. Maybe Damnita is only regular, normal period blood. So you see from the Gemara that is not the case. So that, we just saw in a minute from the Gemara that it's not the case. That's a question, whether it's not the case. Is that really true? Is that statement 100% accurate? That blood that's brought about through other kinds of triggers is not, it is considered to be full-fledged Damnita. So there is a Gemara in the fourth of the Rambam, going very strange Gemara, in Nid of Chav of Abayis, but the Gemara seems to give us a different picture on that. The Gemara tells a story about Ephraim Hormuz, he made the Shomer Malka. There was a king, a Persian king in the days of the Amorim. His name was Shapur, I think is a Persian, they quote him, Shomer Malka. And his mother, her name was Ephraim Hormuz, Shadrin Dama Lekame de Rava. She sent blood to Rava. Not because she was particularly interested in Chasnida, but she was trying to see just how smart she was, that the rabbis were very, very smart. So she was trying to figure out whether Rav would be able to tell her something about the characteristics of that particular blood. Habiyasi Rav Avadja Kameh, Rav's Talmud was sitting there, Rav Avadja was sitting next to him. Arche, so Rav smelled the blood. She was somehow able to a little smell it. Amalahi responded back to her, Haidam Chimuru. So he stunned back and said, I can tell, I have a chush, that this blood was brought about through chibur. This is not regular period blood. This blood was brought about from some kind of a stimulation or something. So Amrulei Lebrei, so she said to her son, Tachazi kama chakime yudoi. See how smart the rabbis are. Wow, they're unbelievable. They can tell. He said the rabbi was right. He figured it out. This wasn't regular period blood. This was blood that was brought about from some kind of a stimulation, what we call an alach adam chimur. So the question is, what was the significance of the story? Why did Rava have this expertise between telling the Dam Chimur and I? Who cares? According to the Gemara Nidah Samavav, if there's absolutely no difference in halacha between Dam Chimur and regular blood, why did Rava bother training to figure out what Dam Chimur was, what was not Dam Chimur? Why did Rava care? What was the significance of the whole story? So the Ran, Chedush Ran, the fifth of the Rambam Kamos, asked the following, Hai Dam Chimur, Per Shubo Dam Chimur Hu V'Tohor. Says the Ran, if Rava was able to differentiate between Dam Chibud and not Dam Chibud, it means there was a significance to it. It means Rava was saying, this kind of blood, if a Shia would really come, it would be Mutter, it would be Tor. So says the Ran, that's the case. The Hikshal is that, so the Rishayim, the Ran quotes a part of a discussion, the Yamina Reprek Bas and the Michot, and we say the last paragraph of Masechas Nida, Tavuli Nosev in a spice, a Tzrich Aleshav Shivinikim, Klovishum the Michmuda, Alma Mashmut, Dam Chibud Tamehu. Says the Chedush Ran, the whole sugi that we had before about the woman getting married, they were concerned unless she had a little bit of Dam Chimud. That Gemara is assuming that Dam Chimud is the same as regular Dam. We're making a whole Chumra with the Rabbanon on the outside chance that maybe you had Dam Chimud, and if you would have had Dam Chimud, who cares? So the answer is, we care. The Halacha cares. Because Dam Chimud is the same as regular Dam and Halacha. So says asks the Chedush Ran, how can it be that the Gemara with the story in Hormuz, Ephra Hormuz, whatever the whole Persian king's mother, seems to indicate that Dam Chimud is different than Halacha than regular blood, but the Gemara later on in Ida seems to equate them. So says the Chedush Ran, Amma Mash Dam Chimud Tamiyu, Elevada Haidek Oma Dam Chimud Lo Letara Was Amar Keng, Agdel Haros Chachmoso. Says the Chedush Ran, you're making too much out of the story. He says, the Ran says, Rava wasn't passing a shaila. This wasn't to declare that it was tor. He didn't say Dam Chimud therefore it's mutter. He was trying to show this the king's mother that he knew something, that he had a good degree in discerning blood. That was the whole point. What the shaila chasnita? So he said, this is Dam Chimud. What are the halachic ramifications of it? Absolutely nothing. Dam Chimud is the same as regular blood. The leader says of the Shiran, that's the first part he quotes from other Rishonim, but he says he thinks that maybe there's more to it than that. The Epsha, the Ikimlon
Vade gedam chimud tahor. Says it in the Shira, no, backpedal. Maybe there is a real halachic consideration that blood that comes about because of chimud is really tahor. That's not the dam of Torah Asad. When the Torah Asad was needed, Asad is regular period blood. When blood that comes from some other external, not part of a regular seeing, so that's considered to be tahor min haTorah. So what is the Gemara talking about in Maseches Nida? You have to wait Shemini Kiyum for that. Ha'idit Tzricha Leishav Shemini Kiyum, Mishum Da Agav Chimud Misorim Da Mehal. V'yav Ha'bishad Am Chimud Tor, Efshar Shenim Shach Avdam Nidus Imo. He said, wait a second. He said, you know, just because there's Dam Chimud is Tor, how do you know that it's only Dam Chimud? Maybe there are different kinds of blood. Maybe there's Dam Chimud and there's Dam of regular periods. You don't know. Maybe the Dam that's exiting is a combination of blood, and maybe we have to asur it anyway. But Lu Yitzu, if you had Ruch HaKadosh, and you would be able to figure out that this is officially Dam Chimud, then Inuch Inami would in fact be Tor. So you have two answers of the Ram with the strange Gemara. One answer of the Ram is to say this Gemara about the mother of the Persian king, forget about this. It's totally irrelevant. Not a halakhic issue. It was just somebody was playing a game with us to show that the rabbis knew something in science. And the set shot, he said, no, there was some halakhic significance to it. It was the third shot.
According to that first understanding, why did Gemara bring the story at all?
Showed how Rav was trying to show
that.
It was smart. Here's a Ruah, the third chapter, one of the Rishonim, here's a Ruah says, that maybe the answer is that Nidah Raiks, it's not a Torah. That means Rabbah was telling our Halacha, this blood is really Torah and a Torah. But the fact that you have to be Cheshesh, but not Chibah, that's a Chum Midr Rabbanon. So Rabbah's din about being Tavul Dinase, Tzvich Lesh, and Rikim is a Chum Midr Rabbanon. It's a Chum and a Chumrah. That means really the Dam is Torah. But even though Midr Rabbanon, they made a Tameh, then they made a Tameh even though she didn't see, and then they made a Tameh even though she's a woman who's not even royal enough to see. So according to the Ruah, the whole Chum Midr Rabbanon of Tavul Dinase, Tzvich Lesh, and Rikim is at the end of the day, does any of this have any relevance for us? There's Dam Chimud. So one could argue that potentially it could be a tremendous enough community for this. According to this Svarah, that some Rishonim had, this Rishonim quoted this, some Rishonim who had, that maybe Dam Chimud is Tapatohar, either Midaraisa, maybe Midarabanan, what would that mean? What that would basically mean is that the model that was needed, the Araisa, is only blood that's brought about because of the normal body function. If there's something almost artificial, there's something that's creating a bleeding that's almost artificial, so maybe one could argue that's not Vanidas, Chiddush Gadol. What would the ramifications be for us? Be tremendous for us. Very often a woman starts, she's on pills, and then all of a sudden she forgets to take a pill. She takes a pill a few hours later, all of a sudden she starts having what they call breakthrough bleeding. So what is the breakthrough bleeding? So Kishvay Kenu, that's not a period blood. It's being caused by the hormones being thrown off a little bit. She's not getting the right amount of them at the right time. It's causing a little bit of some kind of a change, some kind of imbalance or something. It's causing a little bit of spotting. Maybe that's like the halakha equivalent of Dam Chimud. It was a big maybe. It was a big maybe we're about to reject. Namely, wait a second, hold the phone. First of all, Lamaisa. Does anybody really truly say that Dam Chimud is Tohar? No. The first pshat in the Ran said that it's tamei mid deraisa v'lishum safek, and the whole Gemara about the mother of the king was irrelevant lahalacha. That's the first pshat. The second pshat said that even if in theory 100% dam chimud is tahor, we can't lamaisa be mekel because you never really know medically. Maybe she is getting a period. How do you know? According to those roots, also mid derabanan anyway. So there's nothing to discuss. Lamaisa the bottom line is nothing to discuss. It's a nice, interesting sugya, but it's not relevant lamaisa. It doesn't make any slightest bit of difference to halacha lamaisa, whether the blood is caused by not taking a pill, whether it's caused by being aroused, whether it's caused by a figure period. You follow the regular rules of Hilchos Nidah. The regular rules are, if it's b'hagosha, whatever b'hagosha means, it's deraisa. If it's derech kesem, whatever derech kesem means, it's derabanan. If you have the kul zuksum, great. If you don't have the kul zuksum, then terrible. So at the end of the day, this gemara may be an interesting theoretical sugya. That doesn't mean anything with ma'isa. So all dam, whether it's come naturally or not naturally, by medication, etc., it's all considered to be regular, plain and simple Hilchos Nidah.
But we don't translate Rava's story about rescheduling
your
wedding.
Oh,
halacha, or do we?
Yeah, we're going to see about that. Yeah, that is going to become potentially relevant for us. So now that we know at least what the background was of this halacha of Dam Chimud, that with the Rabbanan, they were choshesh, even though we didn't see any blood, the mere fact that a girl decides she's getting married, that automatically kicks in a requirement of Shemini Kiyum under all circumstances. So the question becomes historically, an interesting historical question, when did that din begin? Who exactly was responsible for that din? Most of the time, we couldn't care less who was responsible for the din. Rambam writes in his introduction to Bereshit Mishnayos, any din der Rabbanan that was made from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun to the days of Rav Ashi had the exact same status in Halacha. They were agreed upon by the Beis Nagadol or by the Chach Yisrael, that generation. So whether there was a formal Beis Nagadol, whether it was in Eretz Yisrael, whether it was in Babel, it doesn't make a difference. If the Chachmei Torah of that generation, all Chachmei Torah signed off on a certain Gezeirah D'Rabbanan, so then that Gezeirah D'Rabbanan is binding based on L'Sosor. It doesn't make a difference which historical Beis it made in Tekonim. Here, all of a sudden, it may become interesting, become important, which Beis Din exactly, sometime between the days of Shur Ben Nun and Rava was already recorded the days of Rava, a little bit before Vashi, some Beis Din made this Gezeirah. Why do we care historically made the Gezeirah? So there is a fascinating question of the Taz, on the page 20, my Rava number 6. I think we spoke about this Taz in one of the Shavuoshim somewhere along the way, because it has something to do with Megillas Rus. So the Taz has an interesting kasha. He says, let's take a look on the Chen Matzino. The line starts to get skinny in the Taz, the second line. But little os aleph. The Chen Matzino, Berus, Shenichlisa, Lumitasa, Shavoaz, Achashetavla. The Psukkim described in Megillas Rus that she's getting ready to go get married. So when Naomi sends her off to go get married, so he didn't propose to her, she basically proposed to him. And she goes, Mama, she goes into his bed. From the Megillah, it sounds like she comes to him in the middle of the night. She tells him what she wants. He says, I'm going to do it. He tells her to leave quickly in the dark and to come back first thing in the morning. And then they get married. Plenty of money, the chuppah, the whole story. A couple of Kenyan chalipins in there and then they get married. What happened to the din of the Tavul Dinosei? Don't they have to wait for Shivanikiyim? Wasn't that a classic case when a woman is, obviously she wasn't proposed to by him, but she was closest to him, but once they decide to get married, so then shouldn't they be required to wait Shivanikiyim? So what's going on at the end of Megillas Rus? Well, if Fima Shikasafti Nicha, the Adayim Lohoysa Gezerizos. So the Taz says that this is Achumim Midirabbanam, this story of Rav of Tavul Dinosei. We have no idea when this Gezerah was made. So Megillas Rus was 1,000 years before Rava. More than 1,000 years before Rava. So 13, 14 years before Rava. So maybe this Gezerah wasn't made until much, much later. But says the Taz, he's not so sure that that's true. Once we say this was only a Chumah B'Dirabbanan of Tavol Dinasei, he says, who made this Gezerah exactly? It's interesting. In the Mishnayis, it doesn't even appear. So maybe one could argue, if Yahid the Rava, the other Tavul in Nasa, even a spice at Tzvich Shleish Shiv Nekiyim, for Rava who Shehimtzi Chum Razu B'Yamot, maybe Rava made the Gzer. Maybe the days of Rava. It's not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Brises. We're not in Ota Sefta. We know that it wasn't practiced back in the days of Rus. So that seems to point in the direction that this is a very, very late Gzer of the Rabbanah. Maybe by the Amorim in Pavel, the days of Rava. That was the end of the Tzvich of the Gemara. So comes the Taz and says, no, it's not true, it can't be. Koshem Yahid Ebreka Choletz, the whole complicated story in the Sefer Yevamos, that happened in the days of Rav. Rav ki ikhlad al-dayu d'shir oman ba'li mevi isliyomer b'china lahavi ha-merava tabul dinasa tzikul shem shikim b'chulei. The Gemara does a whole strange story about Rav, and in the middle of that story, the Gemara says, by the way, how could Rav get married on this month? What happens to Rav's din of tabul dinasa? Rav, 100 years before Rav was first generation Amorim, and Rav was ready in third generation, fourth generation of Amorim. So the Gemara asked the question from Rav onto a story of Rav. Obviously, the Gemara knew that Rav's din already appeared. Rav's din already applied in the days of Rav. So you can't just push it all the way back down to historically to the days of Rav and call it a day. It at least existed 100 years before in the days of Rav. So comes the Taz, he's trying to pinpoint this Gezeirah. He can't make it too early, he can't make it too late. It can't be before the days of Rus, that's for sure, because then that'll throw off the whole Rus story. On the other hand, you can't make it too late in the days of Rava, then the Gemara context historically wouldn't make sense. So the Taz has an interesting idea when it came. But nearly, the Be'osa Shah Shagazu Chom Alek Summon. The summit went hand in hand with Gezeirah's summon. When Chazal made a Gezeirah on Ksamim, so they really changed the Chazdi D'Raisa. It really is a fundamental change, because D'Raisa, you require Hagoshim, whatever that means, because Ma'azeb, Gemara, you require Hagoshim in a Torah. And then with the Rabbanim, they did away with the Agosha. And by the way, just a little spot, a little stain, without Agosha is also a problem. So we know for a fact that that Gezeirah the Rabbanim was made. Now, that we already know existed way before the days of the Mishnayos. The whole parak of Mishnayos at the end of the Sefer Din, Motzi Kesem. So Ksumim has been around for quite some time. When Ksumim was instituted, well, we know for a fact that it was instituted at some time when there were no Ikaras, because we spoke already in the past, that the whole reason for the Gezeirah of Ksumim was because of Taras. Because when you see blood, Derech HaKesem, in Hilchos Tumah V'Tara, the garment becomes Tamei. Once the garment is Tamei, then with the Rabbanu, we have to retamei you as well. We spoke about this a long, long time ago. So, and we know from the Mishnayos, so we know the days of the Beis HaMikdash, for sure there were no Ksumim. So we know for a fact that Ksumim was instituted sometime after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, before the days of the Mishnayos. That knocks it down to 1500 years. And so the Taz says, Nustama, once they did away with Ksumim, in effect what they said was that Hagosh is not important anymore. So Taz was trying to rewrite his halachic history and saying, I've had to put my bets on when this gezeirah of Tavoli Nasi was made. It was probably made, it was a corollary in effect of Ksumim. Just as Ksumim did away with Agosha, so to Chazal went the next step and said, well, since there's Dam Chashash and Dam Chimut, even though there's no Agosha, she doesn't even know, it's less than Agosha, she doesn't even have a clue that there was any blood. Once they did away with Agosha, they did away with any coolers around Dam Chimut, and they asked it with the Rabbanan. That was the Taz suggestion. So we know, says the Taz, it happened sometimes after Moshe Rabbeinu, sometimes before the days of the Mishnayos, but it happened sometime after Rus also. Because it wouldn't happen before Rus, and the Rus story wouldn't have fit in Lahalacha. So we narrow down the window a little bit. The days of Rus, so the days of Mishnayos, talking about 1400 years, still got quite a long time. I mean, just guess, you know, Tavon HaMelech, it's like the Gresha dates, so approximately 1000 BC, give or take a few numbers. So you're talking about the Mishnayos were in 200, after the Common Era. So you're talking, Rus was a little bit before Tavon HaMelech, approximately 1400 years. It's quite a window. But the Taz says, I proved to you historically, it's got to be somewhere in there. It can't be before Rus, and it can't be after Rav, after the Mishnayos. And sometime around then, that's when it was instituted. So now comes the Taz and says, the old Nirel, the Taritz, has another Taritz. The guy with Tamar, he asked the question about Tamar also, we'll leave that part out. They were Tamar Verus, Lohoy Chashashem Atira Machmas Chimud. Says the Taz, no, maybe I can backpedal a little bit. I don't have to pinpoint the story historically. Maybe this Gezeirah of Dam Chimud has been around for the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Who knows? It's been around way before the days of Megillat Rus. But maybe Dam Chimud didn't apply in the story of Megillat Rus. Why? What was the Chashash? Lohoy Chashashem Atira Machmas Chimud. The miyad shen ispayes Yehuda Boaz, case of Boaz, as hoyi mo'am b'mita, v'av l'kvi sheish l'pas b'salo, v'ashen ke b'shar kawa. Says the Taz, psychologically, what's Dam Chimud mean? Dam Chimud is when a person gets excited. So what's getting her excited? They set a wedding date. Oh, great, she's getting set to get married in 5 days from now. So she's not married yet, she's not with her husband yet, so she's starting to get stimulated, starting to get excited. So that's the concern. Maybe, outside chance, there was Dam Chimud. That's the gzeirah of the Rabbanan. So that's only true when she's planning on getting married, but she's not married yet. When they get proposed, when everything happens in 1 second, they're proposed, engaged, tonight, everything, the wedding's all within the next 5 minutes, everything is mounted for one shot, so then she doesn't even have a chance to be, there's no chimud, because it's past pasal, psychologically, she's there already, so the anticipation doesn't build up, so the dam chimud doesn't build up either. That's what the Taz suggests. So the case of Boaz, the same split second. She came 5 o'clock in the morning, told her to come back after Mishiach, come back the next morning by Nates. It was all after Vasikim, and they were married already. So he says, yeah, there's no will be Dam Chimud under such circumstances. So again, interesting, fascinating task to try to bring Miyashe, what happened with Boaz and Rus, how does that fit into the Dam Chimud saga? Either it's based on the fact that it didn't exist, and the Taz had a pinpoint when he thought his best bet historically when it happened. Well, psychologically, Dam Chimud, either the historical shot, psychological shot, why Dam Chimud didn't play a role in Megillat Rus. But now again, a little bit more relevant for us, Lamaisa. This din of Dam Chimud exists for us, and the question is just how it applies, what are the ramifications of it. So if you think about it, 99% of the time when people get married, Dam Chimud is irrelevant. Why? What Dam Chimud means is that we have to be concerned that maybe she got excited, but she got stimulated when she got engaged, and who knows, even though she doesn't see any blood, maybe you can't get married in 5 days, you have to wait at least a week to count Shem and Akim, but the mikvah, maybe there was Dam Chimud. when Arab girls get married today, they're going to the mikveh anyway because they need those derais, and they've been having periods since they were 12 years old. So of course they're going to go to the mikveh. Every cow is going to go to the mikveh because she's in need of derais. The original din of the chibud was discussing a scenario, either like Rabbah's case, where the girl was under bas mitzvah, so she had never had a period yet, or a woman who was way past menopause, who had already gone to the mikveh with her last husband, and then she hasn't seen since then. So, okay, so then, even though Minat Torah is not an Eidah, that's the Chumrah of Dam Chimud. Or, if you lived at a time when women, single girls, would go to the mikveh. So the days of the Beis HaMikdash, single girls always went to the mikveh, because they had to go to the mikveh for Truma, for Kachim, for the Beis HaMikdash, for Ma'aseh Sheni, etc. It was a common thing. The Rishonim instituted it after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So there was no need for single girls to go to the mikveh. So the Rivash writes in the Tshuva that we, not only is there no need, but we won't even let. Under no circumstances we let a single girl go to the mikveh today, because she's only going for one reason, it's not a good reason. She's trying, she wants to violate a pair of nus, she doesn't want to be five kareis, she only wants a low level of sir, of being, stomping was done out of marriage, so we're not going to let her use the mikveh. So the Rivash writes, we strongly discourage the single girls today from using the mikveh in any shape or form. But the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the days of Chazal, so the single girls use the mikveh right and left. So it could be that this girl was Torah. She's 20 years old. She's about to get married. And she said, I'm Torah. I just went to the mikveh 3 days ago. And now someone comes and proposes to her. She says, great, let's get married tomorrow. So Rava says, no, can't get married tomorrow. You have to wait for a week. Tavuli Nasi Tzvich Elesh Yishuv Nikiyim. So for us, the Tavuli Nasi Yishuv Nikiyim has a lot less oomph to it, because our girls are going to the mikveh anyway. The cows are going anyway outside their Raisa. So the only time that we have anything left, any remez of this din of Tavuli Nasi Bizmanazer, is either for the girls who are getting married before the age of 12, not very common, for good reasons Bizmanazer, or for women who are getting married later in life. Women who are getting married in second marriages, who are getting married at a much later stage in life after they're no longer having periods, and they're Tahora. Sometimes you can have a woman who's getting married later in life who's still Tamei, she's still a Sura. Let's say she had, for argument's sake, first marriage ended when she was in her 40s, and she hasn't gone to the mikveh since then. She's had periods since then. And then she gets married 10 years later, so then she has to go to the mikveh with the raisa. She still needs the raisa. But if she got, let's say her first marriage ended in her 60s, and she had already finished all her periods, and she had already gone to the mikveh her last time around, and now the marriage ends, and then 5 years later she gets married in her 70s, so then she has to go to the mikveh. She's married in her 90s, she has to go to the mikveh. That's the din derabban of Tavoli Nasi. So the din of Tavoli Nasi does apply for us, but in terms of practical factors of Maisa, the only time you'll have a woman, a Maisa today, who's only going to the mikveh for this din, is going to be an older woman.
So Dam Chimud, example of Dam Chimud also applies to a 60-year-old, even though she hasn't bled in 10 years?
Right, the same way that it applies to a 5-year-old who hasn't had a period yet. Right, that's right, that's right. They're always afraid that lest there be a little bit of chibur. Now the truth is that...
What is the chashash?
The chashash is that the hormones sometimes can trigger bleeding, even in a woman post-menopause. I don't know enough about the medicine, but I have been told, I have had cases of women who come to me with shilas that they haven't had a period in years, and then they do have a little something, a little hormone, a little something. So the notion that a woman could have a Riyas Dam even way past the point of menopause, does exist in the medicine. And the same is true about little girls also. And sometimes, I was once talking to a pediatric endocrinologist about this, and it happens sometimes that a little girl, they can get a little bit of a throw off of hormones, and she can get, I don't know if we call it a period, but she can get a little bit of Dam, which could be problematic, which could potentially be halachically an issue. The Gemara discusses a little girl, a little baby, having a Riyas Dam, so it's not impossible for that to happen medically either. So that's the Chumrah with the Rabbanim as well.
But the requirement for a 60-year-old to have to go to be Tovel before she marries is because of Dam Chimud, right?
If she was a Sura for the last 20 years, let's say, like I said before, the husband, let's say, last husband, she was 40, so she's been getting periods for the next, whatever, 15 year, whatever it is, so then she still needed the Raisa. So when she gets married, because she hasn't gone to the mikveh the last time after the last period, so then she's still needed the Raisa. And of course she has to go to the mikveh Minat Torah before she gets married. But even if her last marriage ended when she was 75, so she had gone to the mikveh when she was 60, whatever it was, the last time she had gone to the mikveh, already way before that, so for the last 20 years she's been Tahora, if she wants to get remarried, then she has to go back to the mikveh again with the Rabbanah. Again, so sometimes the late marriages will be a tefillah d'oraisa, sometimes it will be a tefillah d'rabbanan, depending on what she's up to in her life cycle from the previous marriage. But we shouldn't think that this din of Rav of Tevul Nase is irrelevant for regular young kalas. It is relevant as well, because every time a young kala has to go to the mikvah, so she almost has to keep in mind but there are two concerns in halacha. So she has to go to the mikvah midaraisa, because she's having a period, she's 20 years old, having a period for 8 years, so she has to go to the mikvah midaraisa. And also, her tefillah has to meet the criteria of Rav. It sounds like well, you're going with the raisa, so then obviously Rava's concerns are satisfied. Not so simple. Because you have to be careful when exactly is the right time to go to the mikvah for Rava's concerns. For the tefillah de raisa, as long as she finished her period, whatever her last period was, she counted Shivin Akiyim and Shem. But once Rava enters into the equation, we have to make sure that she's going to the mikvah not too early and not too late. We have to make sure that she's reached the point already of Tavu al Dinase. So what do I mean by that? If you take a look at the first of the Ram comes on the next, the bottom of page 20, CD 14. So we said before, the CDs don't correspond necessarily to break down the sugyas, because the CD just, a new CD started when the shir ended, over here was still the same sugya in Maramakam number one. And Shulchan Aruch writes, Shivas Yamim Alolu Monim Osa, So Shulchan Aruch writes that the counting of the Shivin Akiyim to satisfy Rava's condition, Rava's criteria of Tavu Minasei, has to be once she's ready to get married. Now we saw the story that when she thought she was getting married, that they had to change the date, to start over again. So you have to make sure that it's reached the point already of Tavu Minasei. And what does that mean? So Shulchan Aruch writes, so meches bedaita, that she knows this is a serious thing, she's really getting married, and she's really getting ready for the chuppah. That's when the Tavu Minasei kicks in. That's when the chuppah starts. Well, imagine the following scenario. So you have a couple, they've been going out for 3 years already, and they've been talking about getting married, and yeah, as soon as they graduate college, they're going to get married. So she decides, I know that we're getting married in June, we're not even engaged yet, we haven't taken a hall yet, say for argument's sake, she doesn't get periods. No, she's on medication, she hasn't got a period in a year. No, so she's not going to plan on getting periods. I don't want to be bothered with Shivin Akiyim later, I'll be so busy with my wedding preparations. I'll count with Shivin Akiyim in December. So she's got her eyes that she's getting married at some point at the end of the year. So I'm going to count with Shivin Akiyim, I'll go to the mikvah now, I'm on Medicare, I'm not going to get any period, but I'm home free. So Shulchan Aruch says, that's no good. So you counted the Shivin Akiyim before the Chimud started. The whole Shivin Akiyim has to follow the moment of Chimud. When does Chimud kick in? You have to have a preparation for the chuppah in order for us to be serious, in order for her body to react and say, oh, she knows she's getting married. Only at the moment that she knows she's getting married, that's when the chibud begins. If you try to count the shivin akiyim for that before, it's not going to do the trick. What would that mean for us? Let's take a look on page 21. Rabbi Yeshulchan writes, the top of the chuppah, b'shosh yisurech v'daita, yesh poskim shekosvu. As long as they haven't written Tanoim yet, and he hasn't obligated himself with a kinyan, with an acquisition, to at least to do in the days of Rishon, the Knas, we spoke about this one of the Friday night show, a couple of weeks ago, the rivers, one of the rivers, I guess, that they used to sign documents, like the Chassidim do today. If he backs out from the wedding, he's going to pay X amount of money. And if her side backs out, the father's going to pay X amount of money. And they made Kinyani Chalipin and Maislach, they wrote Shtaros and everything. Chose Ma, that this hasn't happened. Eina Yechol Adan Limno Shivat Ki, says, she doesn't know for a fact that they're getting married. The Dam Chimur is only when they know that for sure they're going to get married. Kolzman, they haven't signed Tanoim, they haven't made Kinyanim, they haven't written the Shtaros yet. You can't count Shivin Akiyim yet. Listen to these poskim. Afilu itchilu kfar lehochet aspa lechuppah. Even though they're making wedding preparations, she'ena semeches daita lanisuin, she'choshesha she'meyachse bayachosan. Because she's always afraid in the back of my mind until she's got the Shtar Tanoim in her hands, the choset, theoretically back right after that, but unlikely, until she's got a document, a piece of paper with a knas in her hands, so she's not semeches daita. He says, but the pasuk says Jewish people don't lie. He ain't a semechzadish. He says it's a nice pasuk, but it's not necessarily true. So, can anyone begin to sense what the potential ramifications of this are?
We do it on the same day.
You can't count Shiva Nekiyim until after Tanayim. That means she can't start to count for a week. She can't go to mikvah for a week until after the wedding. If you would follow this chumrah, that's where you would be end up.
You can rely upon the taz then.
So some poskim say, you know, Tanoim and Shtaros and Kenazas, they agree, they get married, we would call the modern day group, they got engaged. You can already begin theoretically to count the Dam Chibur.
Go back to your question that they were talking about it back in December, if they got engaged in December.
That's right. That's right. But it probably wouldn't make much sense unless she's not going to get a priest. If she's going to get a priest anyway for the next 6 months, it probably would be pretty silly for her to count the Dam Chibur then. She's going to have to repeat Shiva Nekiyim in the week before the wedding anyway because of the last period. But Lu Yitzu that she's not planning on, well, let's say an older woman. So the older woman, she's not going to get a period. They're engaged for the next 3 months. Let her count Shiva Nekiyim now. What's the problem? Once they get engaged, let them count Shiva Nekiyim. Don't do that yet. Don't bust that yet. We're going to have more to hear about this. But again, this is the first machlokes. Can you count Shiva Nekiyim? Does the Damchima kick in before the official writing of the Tanoim? So it sounds like one group of us go Machmir, others are Mekel, but Shubas Masham, Kasav Sheish Lochosh Lechatchila De Harishonah. So it's lechatchila, you should really be chayshish for the first day. Where does that put us, this man? So hang in there. Nobody does this. Nobody waits to count Shiva Nekiyim after the Tanaim. Well, hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll pick up from there. What we're relying on this man is there. Modern day, quote unquote, equivalent to the Torah. The engagements today are almost like the modern day equivalent to the Torah.
I'll be on Tuesday, Wednesday, back
regular. I think we're back regular. I think it's normal, yeah.